Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm your host, Derek Walker. My co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter. How are you, Jimmy?
Happy May. We're on the doorstep of summer. Mm-hmm. And this year is going by pretty doggone quick. And I don't know if it's because Trump has everything so stirred up. And, you know, if you look at the news, there is almost no other news except something about Trump. You might get a Mideast story in right now because we've been bombing the Houthis out of Yemen, and I think the Houthis, or what do they call themselves?
The Houthis.
I think they surrendered today and said they don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, right.
So,
who would want to?
We bombed them for 24 hours or something like that, and it said that the Yemen airport's disabled, power plants are destroyed. I think we just about, between the Israelis and us, we set bunker buster bombs, everything.
There's not much left.
Quiet that place down. So maybe that'll get off the news, and anybody won't be shooting at, you know, aircraft carriers and stuff like that anymore. So we'll see.
Yeah, there's been a rash of that, but you're right about that. You don't hear a lot. It's a very small
percentage. Everything is Trump. I mean, and that's part of his plan all the time, but it's exhausting.
I agree with you.
It's exhausting to read about. It's exhausting to hear. Mm-hmm. I think the country, the world, is kind of exhausted playing the game.
You know, I think so, too. You just said it really well. It's playing the game because everybody's speculating on what he's really doing, right? So that even the news, they're speculating because they don't really know for sure until the whole plan is complete. And then they say, oh, okay, here's what he was doing.
Well, he throws certain things up in the air just, you know, that this just an idea.
I mean, listen,
there's no way he even has any knowledge that it would be okay or even possible to restart Alcatraz.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's never been there, I'm sure. Right. I have.
I have too.
And I've worked up there on a Disney movie thing. So, I mean, I've been there on my own, but I went up there with Disney when they rented the island a couple of days for the movie The Rock.
Oh, I remember that movie. Yeah.
And
that was a great movie.
And we went up there and did all the publicity, and that's my favorite Sean Connery story.
And let's be
that one.
What year was that? Because Alcatraz had been closed for a long time.
Alcatraz quit being a prison in 1963.
Right. It's old.
And 1.5 million people go up there a year. It's a national park.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun.
And so you come in on a boat and you've got to walk up a pretty good, it's pretty physical.
Yeah.
Because you've got to walk up this hill to get to the top of the rock.
Yeah,
to be able to go in to the main area there. And it's just, I mean, when we went out there, Disney rented the whole island, and they cleaned up some area up there to some degree.
Yeah.
And I think they had to have it clean anyway when they shot the movie. A little more, certain areas were more cleaned up than they had been in the past.
Yeah.
And they built a theater in the exercise yard.
Really?
How fascinating. Prisoners exercise. They built a theater just for one day.
Wow.
And built a theater out there, and then turned the upper part where most of the cells were, not the lower part, but the upper part, into where they had the buffet. Like one section was chicken fingers, and one section was salad and all that stuff like that. So it was a party up there. Then we went and watched the movie The Rock.
Which was great.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite Connery story, because Sean Connery arrives on a boat. All the press is over here behind the, you know, the velvet rope.
Right.
And he comes in, and he's got his wife and publicist. And he, you know, he's about 15 yards away or something. He wasn't going to do any media there. We were just there, you know, people with the cameras recording it.
Sure.
And I yelled out, "Mr. Connery." And he recognized me, and he went, "Michelin, that's the guy that gave me the exploding golf ball. Come here.
Oh, right.
And he had me go across the velvet rope, put me on the golf cart with him and his wife and the publicist, and off we went to the top of Alcatraz.
Oh, how great is that?
And he took me, you know, all these places up there, showing me around where they had shot and all that stuff. And then eventually all the other people came up, and talk about jealous.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine. I'm jealous right now, and I wasn't even there.
And so we eat, and we don't see him anymore. He goes off to wherever they took him.
Yeah.
I imagine they prepared some kind of backstage or a green room or something.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we're sitting waiting for the movie to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear behind me somebody stomping their feet, you know, like, we want the movie to start, right, you know, that type of thing. And nothing happened. And then I felt a nudge in my back. And it was Connery.
Oh, geez.
He was the one, and he wanted me to do it, so I had to start doing it. So when I started doing it, it really got loud.
Yeah.
And all Michael Eisner and the head of all these other people came out from the back.
Yeah.
They wanted to know what in the hell was going on out there because they weren't ready to start the movie. So they looked, and for some reason, they just trained right on me.
Yeah.
The entire chairman of the board and everybody of Disney saw me, and I pointed behind me.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
Just went like this.
Yeah.
And it was Connery. Then he went, oh. And then, you know, they said, okay, we're coming.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh,
wow,
Lord.
How great
getting
is
in trouble
that,
with Sean Connery. But, you know, and that was just one of several times I had things with him. But
yeah.
That was great.
Yeah,
was
I can't imagine. So cool. I mean, one, Alcatraz is an iconic location. Two, Sean Connery, who, God rest his soul, is gone now. But you had the opportunity to meet one of the best actors of all time.
Well, I've been with him in Scotland. I mean, it's, you know, we had gone over there for another movie that he had done.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Scotland and did it. And I didn't want to go. My daughter Sarah was with me.
Yeah.
And we went up to the top of this castle in Edinburgh. And all the media was up there doing stuff. We didn't want to be with them.
Yeah.
So I said, let's go back to the hotel and have dinner. I don't want to eat whatever they're doing here.
Yeah.
So we went back down, and there was nobody in the restaurant, and they sat us next to Sean Connery and his wife, who were there by themselves. And he recognized me. He said, how you doing? And I didn't want to bother him, so we just sat there and ate. And so we just behaved. We didn't germ him or anything else.
Yeah.
And he acknowledged us when they left and everything. And the next day I'm doing the interviews, my daughter comes in with me. She's like 12 years old and 13 at that point. And she had seen him in the movie and saw him at dinner. And I said, you mind if she gets your picture with you? And he said, certainly. So he came over because I had given him a shirt. We got him at the big, whatever the golf course is called, in the top of Scotland where they did Goldfinger. I can't remember the name of the golf course now.
Yeah.
Got him something from there. From the British Open, where it was going to be. And so he was thrilled about that.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
He took a picture of my daughter. And then we were walking out, and she said to me, I think he likes me better than you. What a thing to say.
That probably might have been true, Jimmy. I mean, I don't know, but I wasn't there. I have no idea.
Cute little girl, but, you know, that was funny.
That's
all right, so beside all of that, you know, and it's just Trump, and Trump with Alcatraz, Trump with everything, on every subject, you know, got the Prime Minister of Canada, the new guy in there, and he's, oh, man, he's saying, well, you know, don't ever say never about buying Canada.
Wow. Isn't that wild?
Saying, oh, my God, you know. And then he wants to put the big tariff on movies, you know, foreign movies.
Yeah.
So that's got Hollywood in a dither, and the Teamsters are thrilled because they are losing a lot of money and jobs and everything else because Hollywood keeps taking their movies and putting them in Georgia, which doesn't hurt anything, but when they go down to Australia to shoot, which
it hurts,
done
yeah, it
a
hurts.
Lot lately, they go to England, they go to Vancouver, they go to Toronto,
sure, yeah.
And it takes Teamster jobs, it takes acting jobs and everything else,
yeah.
You know, out of the country. So these unions out there in LA is really going down as far as now where they burn the place up, you know, Pacific Palisades.
Right.
And that caused more trouble and people without jobs. Mm-hmm. So they've got a lot less going on in Hollywood than Hollywood is used to. So Trump, you know, supposedly wants to get in the middle of all of that. And it's every subject, every day, all day. And I'm not saying whether he's right or wrong or anything, but it's just the pace of it. Whew, you know, it's just, it's got the country tense.
Well, I mean,
whether it's the stock market or anything else, the country is, I think it's created a lot of anxiety.
Let me ask you something, because, you know, I mean, for a while there, it was all about Doge. It was all about Elon. It was all
about the government
overspending and, you know, catching them with their hand in the cookie jar. And, you know, who dictates? I mean, the media has the freedom to cover what they want to cover. So who or what dictates? Is it all about the dollar? Is it about the viewers?
Well, it's just,
is it about the hits?
You're taking the news of the day. He creates news of the day.
He creates it. Yeah, he does.
He creates his own news. Education department to garnish wages on 5 million defaulted student loans.
Wow.
They're going to take the paychecks of 5 million people.
Yeah, that'll get
your
attention.
You're going to hear some squawking on that pretty soon.
That gets your attention.
They've told people in advance, you know, I guess they've had a lot of warnings in many cases, so they're not going to warn people anymore.
Yeah.
But if they go into collection phase on some of these people, it's going to cost them 170-something points on their credit score.
Oof.
And that's a pretty big hit on your credit score, because credit score usually moves up 2 or 3 points at a time.
Yeah.
And 177 is going to keep people from getting car loans or home loans or,
well, I'll tell you,
or anything.
You know, without giving away, you know, too much private information, my wife has a way higher score, credit score, than I do, though we've been married for a long time, 30 plus years, right? So how can that even possibly be? Well, I co-signed for one of our kids, and she co-signed for the other one. The child she co-signed for made all his payments, and the one that I co-signed for did not. And so I took on a late, I think it was a late car payment, I took a 60-point hit. But that's half of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
third
half
of what you're talking about.
Yeah, 170. Yeah, so, I mean, I thought that was drastic. I was like, 60 points, that's going to, and it took me probably, what, 10 years to get that back?
Yeah, it's bad. Oof. I mean, yeah, because there are things that happened to me that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, it happened, and it took me a while to get away from that.
Yeah.
Get a dispute with somebody. And once they get you into that system, it is hard to clean it up.
It really,
really
is. It's a slow cleanup.
They got their own little thing.
Yeah.
So
you got to know the ropes.
But Trump, though, I really do. I think it's got a lot of people, you know, it's certainly, well, all right, if you're on the other side of the political fence,
mm-hmm.
if you're on the Democratic side, I hear these people, even on technical shows,
mm-hmm.
talk about Apple and relocating manufacturing away from China and to India or to the United States, talking about how hard that is to do that technically.
Sure.
You know, that it's more than just building a building. You've got to have certain machinery and people that know what they're doing and all that. And that it's difficult. So,
well, and you just,
it's got
on
the tech shows, you know, concern,
yeah.
But they're all, but the Democratic people who are the far left leaning people who are on those shows are acting like, well, in 5 years, you know, this is going to be the end of the world. They don't think there's going to be much of a country to save in 4 or 5 years. Well, I certainly hope that's not true.
I do too.
But the sad part about that is that you don't hear it's almost like the people on the, I didn't feel this way when somebody on a party that I'm against, mm-hmm. Now, there have been a lot of presidents I haven't, you know, voted for.
Yeah, me too.
My lifetime, but I didn't hope they failed.
Yeah, because it's our America, right?
It's still the country, you know. Right. I don't want the country to screw up just to put a black mark, you know, on theirs. Did I like all the programs they did? No. But generally, I just wasn't rooting for the country to fail. It almost feels like that these folks are rooting. They're expecting the country to fail. And it's like they said, every, like 90-something percent of all news stories are negative involving Trump that are coming from the national media.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these people are, they're certainly not, you know, Republicans. I mean, what you've still got is you've got 20% over here on one side,
mm-hmm.
who are just blithering, insane, you know, almost communist people.
Right, right.
You've got 20% on this other side, extremely, that Trump is the second coming.
Yeah.
And he can do no wrong. It doesn't matter what he is. Even if he's wrong, he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He can do no wrong.
That's true.
So there's 40% of your people right there.
Right.
And then you've got, you know, 60 in there somewhere that are in between. and mm-hmm. that, you know, they're leaning left or leaning right. And I think I'm in that middle 60. And I hope it's true. If it is true, I just can't believe someone would have a conspiracy to be that, to make up all that stuff. You know, did
That's
they
fascinating.
Fudge the numbers? You know, I mean, these look like, you know, when you put all these 10 or 20 people on camera that are these smart, you know, nerds that are finding all this forensic accounting.
Right.
I don't think they make that up.
I mean,
did someone forget to put a decimal somewhere every once in a while?
Maybe, but
is there a lot of waste and stuff? Of course there is. I see it in Medicare things that come across this desk of things that these folks are trying to charge Medicare, mm-hmm. but Medicare that says no, we're not paying it. We're not paying that.
Typical.
But I mean, there's a lot, particularly in that world, mm-hmm. there is a tremendous amount of fraud and monkey business that goes on in that world, because I'm a little familiar with that world. But
I think for years we've all felt the same thing about government waste. I mean, it's just a machine.
Of course, we've heard it all the time. Yeah, every president said it.
Exactly. So I think when they started to uncover some of this stuff, we said, okay, well, that's incredible, but it's not unbelievable. That's incredible. That's not unbelievable. That's a lot of money. That's unbelievable. What are they doing with our money? And it's very frustrating to hear it. So I had a hard time with that whole thing with, why are you mad about finding this
fraud and abuse? It was just the whole point of
it. Makes no sense.
Is that, and I've heard it again yesterday on something.
Yeah.
That if Donald Trump found the cure for cancer, they'd still be against it.
There would be something he did.
He would not get credit for
it.
And that's a ridiculous statement, but I've heard it more than once, and I do believe it's true.
Well, I think
it certainly feels that way anyway.
It makes a point is what it does. I mean, you and I, we both, you said you like to find yourself in that middle percentage of people, and me too, someone who's logical, someone who's not closed-minded, somebody who can rationalize, you know, and make sense out of things. I think we're both in that category. So do I love everything he does? No. Do I love everything Clinton did? No. Do I want to see the United States of America, you know, crash and burn? No. No, I don't want to see it. No,
but there are things that Trump does that, again, since I'm not in the 20% that thinks he is second coming, mm-hmm. here's one that just came up here, a story. Mark Carney, that's the new head of Canada.
Yeah.
He said, I asked President Trump to stop calling Canada the 51st state. Well, I agree with that. I don't think that was wrong.
Okay, that's okay. Wrong. I mean, it's his country.
I mean, it is. So Canada people are very proud.
Yeah,
and they don't want to be here. They don't. What have they done to us? Well, okay, maybe they've had some bad business things or something, or made it hard on us to sell milk or whatever they're accused of doing. But generally, it's been a pretty good neighbor to the North, unless it hasn't. And I don't know. I just wish. It seems like sometimes he causes stinks when a stink isn't necessary. But
I don't disagree. I think in Canada's case, I think he's saying, look, we are here. We protect you, or we are part of the protection unit for you. And he throws something like that out there, and then everybody globs onto it. He wants to take over Canada. He wants to buy, you know, and it's like maybe that wasn't the initial intention. I found, you know, we talked about this before. I found that Bill Maher interview really interesting. Regarding who was in the White House and who people think is in the White House. And I think people sometimes misunderstand what he's saying, and he's not clear about what he's saying. So that's on him too. I mean, don't say something like that unless you're meaning
it. Well, it's all part of his plan. He doesn't do anything, you know, just he knows
willy-nilly.
What he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's trying to get to some place.
Right, there's some kind of antagonistic.
And he's doing it that way in order to, you know, okay, well, I'll stop doing that if you'll do something. We got to get further down the road with this.
You're right.
100 days.
Yeah.
But if we're the same place we are right now at the 200-day mark.
Then we got a problem.
Maybe at the end of summer, first of fall, I think things are not going to be good for them. I mean, they really got to show some stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and I think they might this next 100 days, you know, if they get the hoochies from cutting up over there, and they could stop that.
Yeah.
He keeps saying there's a big announcement coming this week, whatever that's about.
I don't even, you know, sometimes I think, does he even have an announcement, or is he just saying that to distract us from some other play he's making? I don't
know. Right. I mean, there's something, you know, that, okay, what's it, you know,
yeah,
it's
what's the announcement?
It's rope-a-dope, like with
right.
Muhammad Ali, you know.
Right, right.
He's dipping and diving and
that's true.
All of that.
It's
I
true.
Don't know. It's
true.
Just, and then you just wonder what is going on in Congress. They don't seem to be doing anything that we can see.
Yeah, but then again,
I mean, maybe they are.
You just said it. I mean, nobody's reporting on any of that. We aren't getting any information about it. We're not getting any information about any kind of progress or not. It's all about what either Trump said or did today. And it's too bad. I wish we had. That's why I say, who decides what? I mean, I know that news directors decide what hits the top story, but it's always the same. It's always Trump is the top story.
Because he's always, but he wants it that way. He's
okay,
created
fair,
news
yeah.
every day.
That's true.
He has two or three announcements a day.
And just to
or executive order or something that's more outrageous than the last thing.
And then
if that's not going on, it's scaring people to death with Kennedy, you know, doing whatever he's not doing or doing. He's been kind of quiet. Lately,
yeah, he has actually,
but it doesn't mean he's not doing anything.
Yeah,
and then here's a statement: Coca-Cola makes $10 billion per year from food stamps.
Well,
and so they're trying to take it where they can't, people can't spend their money on food stamps with you know for that.
I mean,
now that figure, who knows if that's true?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, these figures, these billions and trillions these days. It says Coca-Cola gets between 5% and 20% of their annual revenue from, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know if that's true. You know, the thing about it is you see things on the internet and you don't know what to believe.
No.
I just happened to read this. I don't trust the source of that.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't trust the source of almost everything these days. And that's one thing, you know, you see something, oh. You know, so I don't know.
No, you're right on the money for that. And regarding Coke and those kinds of things, and I see what they're trying to do there. I see they're trying to say, okay, well, if this food's not good for you, should you be able to buy it with? But then I think about the kids and the if you're, you know, strapped for cash and there's a treat you want to get them and you can't afford to get it. I get all that, all those arguments. I think generally I like the idea that, you know, you buy wholesome stuff with food stamps. But I feel like there should be a percentage that you could buy some junk food with just because, I don't know, bring somebody happiness or joy or something.
I know, that's what I was thinking too.
I don't know. I mean, a piece of cake once in a while.
But you just wonder, how did we get so screwed up?
Yeah, you do. I wonder
every
day.
You know, really. I mean, I'm not even, the Coke is, you know, we're all, I quit drinking sweet tea and it helped my medical situation.
Yeah.
So, and I'm from the South and we live off sweet tea.
Yeah,
and I haven't had a glass of sweet tea in well over a year, and it's certainly been extremely helpful. I'm still drinking carbonated Cokes, which I know those are bad, but I'm not drinking them all. I'm drinking unsweet tea.
Do you miss the tea? Do you miss the sweet tea?
I can live without it.
Okay, all right.
As long as I can have my Coke in the morning, because I don't drink coffee, and I drink half of a carbonated Coke,
which
isn't the same as drinking, you know, the bottled Coke or the canned Coke. It's watered down, diluted.
Yeah, for sure.
But I look at stuff like, you know, our air traffic control system.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world did we let that thing get so antiquated and screwed up?
Yeah, I don't know.
And somebody just didn't say stop, and we need to fix this, we need to fix that. And I just don't understand no one pulled the stop button at some point, you know, since they modernized whenever in the 60s or whenever. They went to computers and stuff.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that is the whole problem with our entire country right now, is everything got so spread so thin. We talk about the roads getting fixed. We talk about air traffic. We talk about
But how did we
the
let
border.
Them go? For example,
I don't know.
This country was built on and built the expansion with everything with the railroad.
Yeah.
With trains.
It sure was. Yeah, it sure was.
And we still got a very healthy train system.
Mm-hmm.
That's out there, you know, that works every day. In fact, I started a website that I found.
Yeah.
And actually, I watch it all the time. It's called Virtual rail fan.
Okay, and what do you get on that?
And I got nine cameras up here where I'm watching trains in different parts of the country.
You just reminded me. You remember Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, right? John McEwen and those guys.
Yeah.
We once had John McEwen in our boat, and we sat out in the middle of this lake. You know where we used to live, and we got something like 60 trains a day. And John was supposed to be on stage, and he said, "No, sit here. I want to see a train." You said it'll be here in 15 minutes. I said, "Yeah, every 15 minutes. Sit right here." And we heard them announce it was a lakeside venue. That Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and he sat there in the boat, and he said, "No, wait." And then the train came, and he just wanted to see it going across the water, and he took a couple pictures, and he goes, "Okay, take me back to the concert." So I don't even know. I didn't go to the show, but I don't know if he was late or what, but he wanted to see that train cross the water. It's fascinating.
There's a channel on YouTube, several now, that have airport things going all over the place. You can watch LAX every day.
I love
watching the morning
planes
or the afternoon or whatever. Watching jets take off. It's on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
LA flights and LA something other.
Live.
Well, this is the train version live.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah, I'd watch
And if you've got a thing called FlightAware, the app, you can actually look on there and see where the plane's going and who it is and what kind of plane it is and follow after taking off. But on the trains, you can do that. You can't really follow them.
Yeah.
But you can watch them come through, and some towns get a hell of a lot of trains going.
Well, you know, like where we were.
That's an east-west route to the north.
Yeah.
And this is, I don't think there's any cameras up that way, but these are HD cameras that are in these places. And it is crazy.
No, so you say with...
But that's mindless stuff. You can watch that, and I tell you, a show that I watched it, you got to escape all this Trump stuff. And all this a lot. I think people have to really get out there and do something. So whether it's model trains, which a number of stars build model trains, just watch trains or take pictures of trains, do the airplane thing and watch airplanes or whatever it is, it's just you're getting your mind away from, you know, people who are sick or in nursing homes or any
you're
of the
right.
crazy things
I mean,
that
you're
might
right.
be in your life.
Yeah,
and it just is something you got to do now. TV, my buddy who's listening to this podcast, finally this week got in a situation where he could get Paramount Plus.
He's watched
1923, and he's watching Lioness now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember what else he's gonna watch. Tulsa King. Mm-hmm. I started watching a show, Mobland.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah,
I didn't like it. I watched the first of it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't happening for me really. Mm-hmm. But I tried and I watched a little bit more. And then dadgummit, I let it do the tease of the opening second episode.
Yeah.
And I started, okay, I get this. I understand. And I put on closed caption because it's a lot of British stuff going on there. And man, all of a sudden, I can't wait to get the next episode.
So I've always said this.
I highly recommend it, but it's like so many of these series.
Yeah.
You have to hold your stomach and get through the first episode. For some reason, the first episodes don't do anything for you, and then all of a sudden you're addicted.
Okay, so you're right. I have always used the formula of three episodes.
Oh, that's a lot.
But it depends what it is. I mean, for example, Ozark, I got in the first episode. But when it's something that doesn't quite interest me, I still give it two or three episodes, especially if somebody like you said, Mobland is good. Then I'll say, okay, I'll watch, three episodes. If I'm not into it by the end of that, it's done. I'm not
watching.
Three
is a long commitment. I mean, I would think mostly... If you can't do it by 1.5, you probably can go.
You gotta give it a chance to. I think
you gotta give it a chance, at least an episode.
I think they write these out longer, like a movie is 90 minutes.
They do.
Or
I mean, they used. I used to do this. We did television shows this way. We would get 3x5 cards, different colors in some cases, or just in big marker, and put on there. Car blows up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's over here. And you can do it with your big things that are going to happen on an episode or in the season, the arc, the story arc for the year, if you're going to do one that long.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're pitching it, you need to give them a story arc for two or three years.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And then you can figure out what's going after that. But you write it all up, and you do these little cards, you build it like a train. And show
fascinating.
It.
Okay, yeah.
This is going to be, this is how we're going to do the ending. All right, these are the big plot points for the ending, the beginning, and in the middle. And you can see it where Taylor Sheridan's doing that on his shows. Some of these shows, there may be 10 episodes. Episode number 7, that maybe 4.5, finally gets to do something after he's wasted your time on episode 3.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Episode 8. You know, it just, like 1923 was one of those.
Slow.
Sometimes in an hour and 10, 15-minute show, almost nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nothing that moved the dial
to
where
you're
trying to go.
Yeah.
And that used to really irritate me when that happened.
Yeah, but it does me too. Yeah, it does me too.
But Mobland is very good.
Okay.
It's on Paramount Plus. I'm not the biggest Pierce Brosnan fan in the world, but I grew to like him as Bond eventually.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has got this Tom Hardy guy that people seem to love.
Yeah, I like him. He's fun.
But I like him too.
Yeah.
I did watch a movie called Havoc.
Havoc.
And I'd never seen a movie like that before. It's the category that it's in is ultra violent.
Okay.
It's when you shoot somebody and the blood goes out of their body in slow motion.
Ooh, I've not seen
that
before. I've not
seen
that.
You know, like it really is ultra violent.
Let me ask you, since you said ultra violent, I watched a movie you hated and I knew it going in, and somebody who was visiting wanted to watch it. And I said, okay, but I know it's not going to be good, but okay, we'll watch it. Civil War.
Oh.
It was awfully violent. Now, I don't know if you would call it ultra violent, but it was.
No.
Okay,
it wasn't
ultra-violent.
Okay,
so this is even more ultra than
violent
that.
Ultraviolet is just Havoc. I mean, doing shooting. Well, here's an example of ultraviolence in Havoc. They're having a shootout, and this guy has a pistol, and he shoots it. Boom, 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 boom. There's no pistol made that has that
many
shots.
A lot of bullets. Yeah, right.
But it doesn't matter. It's like it's like an unlimited number as long as he's shooting.
Okay.
That's ultra-violence. So it's just a ridiculous number of gunfire shots and just stuff like that.
I'll watch it when my wife's out of town.
Yeah. I didn't like it, though. I just thought it was stupid. Yeah. But I made it through the movie, but Havoc,
okay. Extreme, huh?
It was a terrible story, but it was just, you know, ridiculous. I mean, I liked my violence and stuff, but it needs to be sort of
realistic
possible. It's like there's going to be a Beekeeper 2.
Mm. Did you see
one? And I paid to watch Beekeeper 1.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's ridiculous.
Bad. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know, he can do, he's like Superman or something.
Yeah, he is.
But I like him.
Yeah.
And I like to watch him do all that stuff.
Well, it's like
they're
going
to do 50.
Yeah, it's like Mission Impossible. I mean, that stuff is pretty far-fetched to the most part. I mean, sort of. I mean, I don't know.
And that's coming. I mean, well, he's sort of doing a lot of that, but it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There's a new one
that's
coming.
That's why he does so many of his own stunt, maybe all of them.
Yeah.
Because he wants you to believe somebody can do it because he's doing it.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. He's crazy.
That's coming out May 23rd, so that's coming out real soon. The theaters, you know, they got some hope.
Gosh, I thought they were done.
Life support.
I really did thought they were done. I did, and they're still hanging in there. In fact, I know people now that go once a week as a date.
Well,
date
good.
Night,
if there's enough product out there, which they're, you know, now there's coming, though, with Mission Impossible and then Jurassic World. And there's several things that are going to be out there. This Thunderbolts movie was surprisingly good.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but
people liked
it.
Got an A- in cinema score, so
that's pretty
that
good.
That was good for it.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to look at the writing side of things. Like you were talking about the story arc. I never even thought about that before. But as you watch them, you can see kind of, if you build that in your mind, you can see what they're doing. Maybe that's why these movies or these series take a while to get going. I don't know. But, I'll watch Mobland for sure.
And, yeah, Mobland is that way. But it's just very interesting to, you know, see what's, they're going to do the NFL draft in Washington in 2027. That'll be a big deal. Why that's a big deal, I watched a lot of it. I don't know why.
I don't either. It was on the network, and I just stumbled
across
it. Maybe
just a lack of anything else, you know, to do.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, that's going to be a big deal. You know, next year they're doing the Soccer World Cup.
Yeah.
It's like 75 different games, which are as big as the Super Bowl around the world.
Yeah, it's got a lot of fans. I mean,
millions of people are coming to the United States for that. So they had a big news conference on that today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
other than that, it's all Trump and that kind of thing.
And that was Trump.
That was Trump.
They had at the White House. They were there. Christy Noem and all of them. You know, they made a big deal out of it.
Well,
since Bill Clinton deported 12 million illegals during his presidency, 93% without due process hearings.
And how much did we hear about that?
You know, are those facts correct?
I don't know.
A pro-Trump group sues Chief Justice. You know, there's just so much crazy, nutty stuff going on.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I learned. Well, I didn't learn it. I'll just pass it on. If you get a chance to go to Alcatraz and you're in the Bay Area of San Francisco, go on the tour. It's fascinating.
Yeah, the fact that some, you know, they never had an escape.
Yeah.
And I've been up there a couple different times to shoot stories and things. Man, when that fog rolls in out there.
It's eerie, isn't it?
It is eerie, but it's awful. I mean, it is so damp.
You can't see anything,
It is so damp and dank out there.
It's gross.
You know, and I can't imagine. Prison's depressing enough, but to be damp out there.
Stuck on that island knowing you can't go if you had to. No, but it's fascinating. Go. It won't be as good as Jimmy's experience with Sean Connery, but it'll still be good. I mean, that's bucket list, Jimmy. Come on.
I love San Francisco. I mean, I still, with all its troubles,
I haven't been
in a long time, but my memories of San Francisco are all good. Yeah. I just know that if you are a tourist and you do anything stupid, it might come back at you because there are a lot of petty thieves in that town.
Yeah.
And they will break into your car if they see something on the, and they'll steal it.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody will do anything about it. Cops won't even.
No, they don't have time for that. Mm-mm.
So, you know, you just can't put yourself in a position where you can get in trouble. And I worry about that from people all the time. You know, again, as you kids get out and your college kids and others get out to play this summer and go to Nashville and places like that where there are bars. There are increasing numbers, and again, they don't cover it because the police kind of cover it up and the cities cover it up, people putting in things in people's drinks.
Yeah.
Oof, you know, roofie type things. There have been several instances of it lately, and you've got to, you just, number one, can't go to these places by yourself.
Yeah, I think wingman's good advice.
You've got to have a wingman, and that's not just for girls, but for guys,
too. Yeah, I agree.
In fact, the last two people to disappear, one found in the river, one found roaming around in a field in a suburb of Nashville, were guys, college guys.
Fascinating.
And all had been left by their wingman, and one of them died, and one of them got rolled. He lost his watch. He lost his billfold.
Wow.
He lost everything and a phone. And he was found just wandering around in a field 36 hours after he left.
What the heck? I heard nothing about that. I heard nothing about that.
They covered it up. I mean, they don't want to promote it.
Yeah.
It was getting ready to break when he was discovered. It was getting ready to get huge.
Yeah.
And then he turned up. But, you know, and there are others that you just, there's things that go on in these cities, these tourist towns, you know, that are not good. So you gotta be careful out there everywhere you go, no doubt about it.
Well, Jimmy, always a pleasure, as is today. And folks, if you're listening and you enjoyed what you heard, tell a friend. And until next time on Sweeping the Country, I'm Derek Walker. He is...
And I'm Jimmy Carter.
Good day.